I'm that kid who was on the school paper in elementary school, junior high school.
Not everyone in the whole world has a chance to go down to City Hall and figure out what's going on.
You're trying to find out things that people don't want the public to know.
There's something rewarding about it, and it's not always easy, and sometimes you run into dead ends, and sometimes it doesn't pan out, and sometimes what you think things are not always that way.
When I was an infant, I guess I wouldn't fall asleep until I heard the Channel 2 News theme
That's
song.
So funny.
That's what I'm told.
Good evening. It's 7:07, 720 WGN. It's Andrea Darlis. Andrea and the reporters, those were the voices of Anna DeVlantis and Dan Miahopoulos from 2 weeks ago. You can get the podcast at WGNradio.com. Tonight on the program, two veteran Chicago journalists with a combined nearly 70 years in the Chicago media. Their names are synonymous with reporting and storytelling, each in their own unique ways. Karen Kring has worked in the journalism space as a director of photography, a photo editor, production designer, and in radio. She's worked for two of the biggest newspapers in town, still works for one part-time, and is the past president of the Association for Women Journalists in Chicago. And Dick Kay, you know that name, spent 38 years at NBC5 as a political reporter. He also worked in radio and in TV in Peoria and Green Bay, still works in radio at WCPT, and has won countless awards from the AP, UPI, and the Chicago Headline Club. By the way, he's interviewed every president since Richard Nixon. Two incredible journalists whose careers have pretty much seen it all. But how you each got your start is the most interesting of your stories. Karen and Dick, thank you for being here.
Our pleasure. My pleasure.
You first, Dick.
Right. Me first?
Yeah.
How I got my start?
Exactly.
Oh, and you know, Dick, you're so funny because I've been friends with you forever, and he's telling me his story outside, which I knew a little part of, but not the other part, and I went, save it, because everybody knows your name, Dick. Everybody knows who you are. But they don't know how you got your start.
Well, how I got my start's a long story. I'll try to make it short. I was a very poor boy from the South, and I was a high school dropout at 14. And I bummed around working on my own. I worked in Evansville, Indiana, and I did everything you can imagine. I mean, I worked in a bottling company, and I dug ditches, and I picked cotton, and I chopped cotton, and you name it, until I got smart and joined the Navy. I got in the Navy when I was 17. And when I got out of the Navy, I had the GI Bill. And I was trying to figure out who in God's name is going to let me in college. Well, Bradley University did.
Yeah, they did, the Bradley Braves.
And they let me, and they admitted me. And I didn't have any inclination to be a journalist or a reporter. When I enrolled at Bradley, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I enrolled in commercial art. I said,
did you?
Yeah, until they told me to get out of it.
I was in commercial art. That's what I majored in.
Really?
No,
yep.
Kidding.
At NIU.
My art school director finally told me after 2 years, he said, you're not going to make it. You might as well get out of this. Well, by then I had gotten into speech as a second major. So I majored, eventually I switched majors and I became a speech education and had the commercial art degree. But I got in speech education, and they had a radio speaking course, and then they used to take us over to a little station in Pekin at WSIV.
Oh, sure.
Let us run it on Sunday. I fell in love with radio, probably the sound of my own voice.
That's okay. We all like that on occasion. Yeah.
And from there, it's history. I worked at WSIV while I was still in college, and then they opened another radio station in Peoria, a good music station, and I went over there and applied for the job. They gave me the job. I was just an announcer, and I learned about journalism there because I didn't take any journalism courses ever. I had two guys working at the radio station in Peoria named Bob Steinbrink and Jerry Edwin. Jerry Edwin went on to be the Westinghouse bureau chief in Washington, D.C., and Bob Steinbrink went on to be the news director at KTLA in Los Angeles.
Sure, you learned from two of the best.
But I learned from them, and I used to write for them when they'd go out and they'd cover the news, and they'd come back and they'd say, you know, write filler and rewrite the stories so we'd have a newscast. That's how I learned journalism. That's how I learned about the news business. And when they quit, both of them. I mean, they cut the pay of one of them, and the other one quit and went out to California.
No, wait, in radio? Come on.
And Jerry quit and went to Westinghouse. And I said, they said, you're the new news director.
There you
so
go.
There I was the news director
right.
at the
Baptism by
radio.
Fire.
And then they at a TV station in Peoria said, you know, we're looking for a leg man. We'll teach you how to use the camera. And they handed me 100 foot of black and white film and a Bolex camera and said, go cover the news.
And you did?
It was terrible. It was terrible, but it was a learning experience.
Sure it was.
And then they fired the whole station.
Yeah. Again, in radio stop.
No, TV.
Oh, this was
they
TV.
They fired every
Still
one
shocking.
Of us. And I was bumming around. I had a great guy from, used to be at WGN as the news director, and his name was Chuck Harrison in Peoria.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And Chuck hired me part-time when I didn't have a job. And while I was there working for him, a station needed a news director in Green Bay.
And that's when you
And
went to
Chuck
Green Bay.
Recommended me, and I went to Green Bay, and I got the job as the news director. Now, mind you, I've been in the news business no more than 6 or 7 years, period. And part of that was a disc jockey.
Yeah, yeah.
So I took over as a news director up in Green Bay. And one great thing about that job, I got to see every Packers game from 65 on through till I left in 68.
Are you still a Packer fan?
Well, yeah.
Kind of come clean. I thought.
I'm a great Aaron Rodgers fan. I've switched my allegiance to the Bears, of course, maybe regretfully so.
No. And when did you come to Chicago?
In 68, they needed writers here in Chicago. And NBC used to hire vacation relief writers, and they kept you on the job. If you got the job, you could be guaranteed that you would be made permanent.
Right.
And I got the job as a writer, and there were Pete Nolan and a number of others got the job. Rush Ewing was a courier there.
Yeah, sure.
And we were the writers. And we wrote for Floyd Calber, and we produced a few shows. And I said, you know, I wanted to be a reporter.
What a great year to come in.
Yeah.
1968.
Yeah,
right?
No kidding.
Smack in the middle of all of it.
Chaos.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, hold that thought. So you're in Chicago now. Let's have Karen play catch-up here. Tell us how you get your start, and we'll finish when you came to Chicago.
Oh, I've been in Big Chicago time. All the time.
Okay.
And I started my career after getting my degree at Northern Illinois University was as a designer and went into marketing. And then I decided I was going to do photojournalism. So somebody I knew said, oh, go take a John White class at Columbia College.
Yeah.
So I did that, and I took two more. Wow. I took something with Richard Dirk, who was a freelancer around town at the time, and with Jeff Cohen, who at the time was had a director of photography or some title like that at the Playboy. So
okay,
that
sure,
was really
sure.
cool to see the Playboy archives and
I bet,
be in, you know, see what they were doing there. And so I am still in love with photojournalism, and I love photo editing as well.
Do you both remember your very first assignments? What were they? Karen's nodding emphatically.
Yeah,
what was it?
I do. And I was thinking about that before I was coming here. When I finished my John White class, I was telling my then shooting partner, Dodi Anderson, who's now Dodi Hofstetter, and she's retired from the Tribune now. I'm like, I'm shooting great stuff, but there's nowhere to put it. She goes, we need freelancers. So she got me in at the Tribune, and they sent me out to Countryside, and the assignment was very vague, and I kind of liked that. It was, there's a family that just moved there, and they are different than the neighborhood they live in, and that's all I knew. So I don't know if there's tension. I don't know what the story is. And I get there on a weekend, and they're in their Sunday best, and it's like, okay, you know, I don't want this to look like American Gothic, you know, with them in
sure.
front of their house. And so I talk to them, and then finally it comes out, oh, their neighbors love them, and it's really great, and they have a really good relationship with their neighbors. And then we started taking some pictures outside of their home, and then the neighbors pulled up, and the neighborhood kids given the father high fives, and that was my shot.
Wow.
And it was lovely. It was lovely to make a picture that told the story and not just making art to illustrate an article.
Do you still have the picture?
Oh, somewhere, yeah. Okay. Somewhere.
So it's not like framed in your home?
Oh, no, no, no. Okay. No, it's a clip someplace. I've saved my clips, but I have no idea where they are right now.
We're talking to Karen Kring and Dick Kay on Andrea and the Reporters. Quick break, and back with more of these veteran journalists after this on 720 WGN. It is 720. I'm Andrea Darlis. This is Andrea and the Reporters. Tonight on the program, Karen Kring and Dick Kay. I started off the program by saying you two have more than 70 years combined in the media in experience. Dick, you were at NBC5 for 38 years. We were talking before the break about Karen's first assignment she remembered, and I said, do you remember yours? And as a reporter, because I know you were a writer and you were a producer, but your story is incredible.
Well, I started in 1960 in Pekin in this business, so that should tell you how long I've been in the business. And I was a writer, and I when they were holding the Democratic, you know, all those, they called it a police riot. Dan Walker later called it a police riot in front of the Conrad Hilton during the 68 Democratic Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And I was back in the studio working with Floyd Kalber, and I was pulling videotape clips to go on his news when we finally got out of the live convention coverage. So I would pick the scenes for Floyd to use. And the next night after that debacle down in front of the Hilton, they said, we got to have somebody on the street, and they sent me. And so I went out there, and the thing I remember in front of the Hilton is they had, I remember, the demonstrators are on one side in Grant Park, on one side of Michigan Avenue, and the National Guard has barbed wire-covered jeeps in the front, and they had bayonets, and they were the go-between, and the reporters, including me, we were kept in the middle of Michigan Avenue.
Oh, right, you're right, you're the middleman.
Yeah, we were sitting out there in the middle, and we would, and then one of the great stories that I've told this story before, the crowd started moving out of Grant Park, and I had a crew with me.
Okay,
and so we were going with the Grant Park, and we were in front of the crowd. And we got down to, I think it was 18th in Michigan or Indiana down there.
Yeah, you're going more
Dick Gregory was leading the march.
Oh, yeah.
And they stopped him.
Oh.
And they said, you can't go to the amphitheater. This is as far as you go. He said, I'm not going to the amphitheater. What do you mean you're not going to the amphitheater? He had thousands of people behind him. He said, I invited these people down to my house in Hyde Park for barbecue.
Oh, my
That's perfect.
Heck broke loose. They threw him in the paddy wagon. They unleashed the tear gas. People were throwing things off the buildings down there. My crew and I had to go to a gas station to wash the tear gas out of our eyes. So that was my initiation to Chicago coverage.
I want to ask you, when you're describing stories like this, I think I know the answer to an extent, but I want, for everybody listening, people are always curious, what is it like covering a story like this that's either heated, or Karen, like your initial photograph when you went to shoot a family that was out of your comfort zone? What is it like to be right in the middle of a story where you're not in your comfort zone?
Well, you don't think about it. I mean, you're concerned. You have to watch your back. And we used to have couriers who worked as security for us when we were out on the street because, you know, you could never tell when the media was going to get attacked. In fact, it happened later on during the Weathermen riots down there. But, you just got to go where it is. And you got to follow the news, you know. It's like we went all the way down to that to where they stopped us, you know.
Yeah.
And we got the tear gas too. We did the same thing at the Dow Chemical riots up in the University of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got gas. We had gas masks that didn't work, you know. But that was for me. I had come down from the small town of Green Bay.
small town. Using it with air quotes there, sure.
But I was just thrilled to be out on the street.
When did you each know, because, I mean, Chicago, I think it's the greatest market in the world, number three in the country, certainly in the world. All eyes are on Chicago, depending on what day of the week it is, you know, for any given story. Now it's the teacher strike. But when did you know, when was that aha moment when you thought, I've made it? I'm in Chicago. I'm doing what I want to do.
You've been here, right?
Because it was always my dream, too. I mean, you and I talked, we both stayed in Illinois.
Yeah,
I had Champaign, Joliet,
Illinois,
Chicago.
Yeah.
When was that aha moment when you thought, this is it?
I'm trying to think of that, but I get those every so often,
yeah,
right? Because I am so glad I am in this business. If I wasn't doing this, I wouldn't be here in this moment. And so to me, a camera is a ticket to the show. And it gives me a reason to go talk to other people that I would have maybe no reason to talk to. And I have incidences where I've met people and they've made comments and they've posed for me that I would have, you know, I wouldn't have any other excuse to hang out with them.
Right.
So
right.
I've met some marvelous people and some terrible people.
Sure.
And, but I feel honored to be able to use my camera and be able to participate
and
in,
tell
in picture taken and tell a story.
It is. It is telling a story. Dick, what was your moment?
I like to say that I've had a front row seat to history in Chicago.
Exactly.
I mean, I know that's a cliche, but I truly have. I have covered every major event in the history of Chicago. I mean, from Richard J. Daley, I knew Gene Stratton, the governor, all the way back to Stratton.
We're going to tell some good Harold Washington stories after the news, too.
I think that when you finally realize that, you know, you're on... Floyd Calber at that time was the number one show in Chicago. He had a 66 share at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
That was before Faye Flynn and Joel Daley.
Yeah.
And when you... And one night, they came to me, because I had been in the business, and they said, Floyd is off. Can you anchor the 10 o'clock news?
And you knew.
I said,
God. But wait, keep it clean.
The biggest show in Chicago at the time.
Oh, yeah, the Channel 5, absolutely.
I was just, and the other instance is, when you do a story, and it used to be this way, it's no longer this way, but NBC used to pick up your stories, the network. And you'd be you didn't call yourself Channel 5. You called yourself NBC News.
Yeah.
Until they split it. But when you saw one of your stories picked up, and it was on the Huntley Brinkley Report at the time, or John Chancellor and David Brinkley, that's when you knew. You said,
"That's your
I've
moment.
Hit it. That, I've arrived." You know.
We're going to play those in a minute. No, I'm kidding.
I recognize that thrill too, because when I've had photos I've made and stories picked up by the AP.
Yeah,
It's Dick Kay and Karen Kring, and we're going to have much more with them after this on 720 WGN. 734, 720 WGN. It's Andrea and the reporters. Our reporters tonight, Dick Kay and Karen Kring. And just before the news break, we were talking about stories where you stepped outside your comfort zone a little bit. And Karen was telling us during the break that you've actually gotten hurt on stories that you've had to go out and cover. And
yeah. Yeah. I'll be covering sports for one of the weeklies, Pioneer Press or Learner newspapers back in the day. And, I'd get tackled on a sideline of a football game, or I'd
not on purpose, of course.
Not on purpose. I don't need that shot. I miss the shot when I get hurt. And I've taken pitched balls to the solar plexus and gasping for air.
I love what I do. I love what I do.
But so those, you know, so that's it. I'm not like Dick, where I've had been tear gassed.
Well,
yet,
and you've—I mean, we're talking a little bit about the dangerous stories, but you have—I've seen you cover just some of the most memorable stories. I know you've interviewed every president since Nixon,
Andrea,
Trump.
I have. I was the first on the scene at the crash of Flight 191.
Yeah,
I didn't do the live shots. Rich Samuels did. I was the first on the scene down here at the Illinois Central Gulf train crash.
Yeah.
That was a horrific scene. I was down in Watsika down there when they had a train fire and explosions. I have been standing behind sandbags at floods when if the sandbags broke, I would be drowned. I mean, up to my waist. I mean, the sand, you're standing there and you can touch the water.
So a president or a council war story would be a boring day for a Dick Kay.
Oh, that's the other thing. That night after Harold died, we were there till 4 o'clock in the morning when they were trying to choose a new mayor, when they finally picked Gene Sawyer. But I mean, I've seen the worst tragedy, and I've had such great fun, you know. It is fun.
Who was the most interesting president that you interviewed?
Most interesting president?
Most interesting president.
Oh, I think, first of all, it would have to be Nixon. I did a half-hour show with him 4 days after he announced in 68 that he was running for president. Or, like, yeah, 68.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another experience. That's another reason I got hired here, because I was able to manage to get Bobby Kennedy on the air from Green Bay for NBC. I didn't do it, but I facilitated it, to get it on, made it happen.
Yeah.
And but Harold Washington had to be, for the mayor, probably one of the most fun mayor. Now Daley, Richard J. Daley, he was quite a unique guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had one or two sit downs with him. But Harold Washington, Harold was just, you know, I mean, and I had known him since he had been a congressman, and I had known him since he'd been in the Illinois Senate.
Everybody who covered him said he was just a likable guy. He was a likable person. I
mean, his vocabulary, you know, I mean, I just love it. I mean, Harold, I used to do commentary on 5. And I'd do commentary, and Harold would call me about 10:30 at night to laughing about a commentary I did, and my news director at the time said he always wanted to meet Harold Washington, and we had a guy named Max Robinson, a black anchor, and he promised Dick. He said, "I'll make sure it happens." And I heard about it, and I said, "You want to meet Harold Washington?" He said, "Yeah." I told Harold. Harold invited us to his apartment for breakfast.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh my man!
You know,
who was the most challenging mayor to interview? And when I say challenging, I mean just a difficult interview. You thought, or a president who was just someone that you would ask questions to, and they just wouldn't give you an answer, or you just didn't feel like it was on a level playing field, a fair interview. Most challenging one.
Well, president.
Yeah, let's go president.
Well, I Clinton was challenging.
Was he really?
Yeah, as nice as he was challenging. I used to shadow him when he'd come to Chicago, and I kept shouting questions at him, and he finally put up a rope line to avoid us.
Did he really?
Yeah, because I was asking him why he was backing Dan Rostenkowski, who later was indicted, as you know, and he finally got tired of it. George was difficult. I mean, he had a good sense of humor, but he didn't want to talk to reporters very much.
This is W.
Yeah.
Okay.
W.
Yeah. Yeah. And you haven't interviewed Trump yet?
No, I don't.
And the rumor is he might be in town this weekend.
I'm too much of a radical progressive. They'll never let me get close to Trump.
But Karen and I were saying you have to keep your record going. You interviewed every president.
He's done
enough. You know, and why should he have to hold his tongue?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he'd get 2 minutes with Trump, and then the interview would be over.
Oh,
so.
Who are each of your dream interviews? Who is someone that you'd want to shoot, you'd want to interview? Who's someone that you'd want to sit down with? It doesn't have to be a president or a mayor. I mean, is there someone that you would just like to sit down and do a one-on-one? If I said, all right, you know what?
You mean 30 past minutes, and present?
Yeah. Either or. It could be someone who's no longer with us. I'd like them to be. I'd like them to be alive. So
go, Dick.
You can strive for.
I have interviewed Menachem Begin. I've been to his house. I went with Harold to Israel. I went with Jane Byrne to Israel.
Did you go to Cuba? Did you go on that George Ryan trip?
That's a very sore point with me.
No, is it really?
Yeah.
How come? Can you tell me on the air?
Can you keep it clean? I covered these governors and I covered the legislature. And when I found out that George was going to Cuba, I said, good, political editor, blah, blah, blah. They said, you're not going.
But you had been the political editor there
since 75.
Right. So this wasn't just, a year in or two in. This is 20 years in.
Let me tell you the story.
Okay.
They sent Warner Saunders.
Okay.
They said, you can't go, Dick. All of my political editors, Mike Flannery, Andy Shaw, Jack Connedy, all of them went except me. And they sent Warner Saunders.
Well, we love Warner. That's okay.
Yeah.
But why? But just it was just a.
Well, I mean, it was, you know, I don't, because I think he convinced him that he had some sources or something like that. And on the last day of the George Ryan visit, all of the reporters and all everybody went out to a university out there where George was going to speak.
Yeah.
They had not seen Fidel Castro. Fidel Castro showed up at the speech for George Ryan and did a gangbang news conference with the reporters. Warner and his producer were shopping, and they missed the whole
thing. No, did they really?
Ouch.
But you know what, though? I will say one thing in the defense of that, in the defense of a reporter. You can be out on the scene, wherever it is, and just leave for one quick second to find a bathroom. I mean, how many times have we all been out in the field, and the first thing you look for is a bathroom, a clean bathroom, and a place to eat. Am I right?
Because that action's not going to happen again.
Come on.
And
come on. You're not.
I've done
George
that.
Is speaking at this university, and the likelihood is that Fidel will show up, and you haven't seen him, and you leave? Now,
I bet he was looking for a bathroom. I would guarantee.
They went shopping. They went shopping.
It's Dick Kay and Karen Kring on Andre and the Reporters. Quick break and more with these great journalists after this on 720 WGN. 746 on 720 WGN. It's Andrea and the Reporters. We're talking to Dick Kay and Karen Kring tonight on the program. And I asked you guys, I kind of threw you a little curveball asking what would be your dream story, who would be your dream interview. Dick, we were talking about who had interviewed so many presidents. That would be one of your dream interviews, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I've photographed Jimmy Carter a few times, but that was in very public places. But what I would love to do is follow him around for a day or even a week and just cover a day in the life of the Carters. And I appreciate access. I appreciate stories that break down the us and them. And the Carters have shown that all the time. Every time they're covered lately, they'd show they are just like anybody else. And I really appreciate that that access that they have given other newscasters. And I would just like to photograph them and document that.
How about that? 95 years old. Mm-hmm. And you just said longest?
73 years married to Rosalynn.
Yeah, longest married president.
Right.
73 years. What a wonderful story. And what would be your dream story?
Well, dream story, I would have loved to have interviewed Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
I really would.
You interviewed Lech Walesa.
When he was in Chicago. And the Polish ambassador was here, too. I can't think of the name. But, you know, they would have those guys over at the... In fact, Nelson Mandela came to the mayor's office, and we got a Q&A with him, but I'd love to just do a sit-down. You know, I mean, my God.
He seems like a very kind man, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He was, exactly.
What would be next for you? Would you write a book?
I have been asked that so many times, and I don't have the patience to do it.
What about if you hired a ghostwriter, but someone to write it for you? You could do audio tapes.
I would love to do it, and I've talked about doing an audio tape. I mean, I think, you know, I have had a stellar career. I got inducted into the Chicago Journalism Association's Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you got Peabody.
I got a Peabody Award for an investigation of the legislature. I mean, I've been president of the local union, and I say, that ain't bad for a country boy from a raw log cabin, is it?
who dropped out of high school, thank you, by the way, for your service, went into the Navy, came back, went back to Bradley, and became one of Bradley's
distinguished
alums.
In 85, after the investigation.
And now that you hear he's from the South, don't you hear the drawl a little
bit? I do. I hear the drawl, and I hear a little bit of, well, I know you're from the North Side.
I am.
I still get a little North Side from you, too. We have our Chicago accents.
Yeah.
You're the past president of the National Association for Women, the Chicago chapter of the Association for Women Journalists. So I'm going to ask you this. Is it harder or easier for women in this business now?
It depends on who you talk to, but I would say it's become a little easier for women. At least as a photojournalist, I've sometimes been asked, you know, what advice do you have for other young women coming up? And I would tell them, don't let anybody tell you you can't do this job.
Yeah.
It is up to you whether you can do this job. And if somebody says, no, you can't do this job, are you going to believe them? Don't believe them.
I got a text from a former intern this week who just said, well, and she said they want me, this new station wants me to change my personality. And I said, yeah. Oh, don't do it.
No.
What were you going to say?
No. All I was going to say was I love that there's so many more women in photojournalism. And there's always been a lot of women, not always, but there's been a lot of women in the newsroom. Mm-hmm. But as far as photojournalists go, women have been rarer. And I was fascinated a few years ago watching another photojournalist work. And she was wearing a skirt above her knee. She had leather boots on, and you know, she was just awesome. And I took a picture of her. I'm like, look at her go.
Yeah, yeah.
And
still photos or TV?
She was shooting video at the time.
Yeah,
and that's why she was with a little camera.
Yeah,
with a little camera. And what I loved about this is when I came up, it was all Eddie Bauer gear and Columbia and Patagonia wear. It was all menswear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you wore. But she looked like a girl doing the job. And when I came up, we all looked the same. We all looked like men. And so it was just like, she's hot.
Yeah. You know, she's rocking it in her heels
rocking
and shooting.
And she's looking like a girl. And that was so cool. And so I'm glad to see that girls and women, we can pull it off.
I've always, and you've always, and this is going to sound cliche, but you've always been a big supporter of everyone, Dick. I mean, everybody has learned from you. And I remember, do you remember, we covered a press conference, and it was Betty Lauren Maltese was being sentenced.
Lord.
Remember this?
Yeah.
At the courthouse.
Yeah.
And there's media from all over the country covering this. And it was myself, and I want to say Julie Mann and Susan Carlson and a bunch of different reporters. And you stood up and you said, hey, let the women up front, because at that
they're
point,
shorter.
I mean, again, we're shorter. We're in our skirts.
Yeah.
We're in our business. We're trying to get, and you were such a gentleman. I want to say it was you and Andy Shaw, and you said, everybody, get out of the way. Let the women up in the front. And then you said, all right, here's how we're going to conduct this, and kind of, you know, led everybody in it. So you paved the way for a lot of journalists.
I am proud of my role as the after steward and president and national vice president. And then my legacy is that we got rid of the no-compete contracts for broadcasters in Illinois. That's the law, and I'm so proud of that. That happened on my watch.
We know what that means. Tell everybody listening what that means, how that helps.
Well, I mean, the stations would sign reporters and anchors and people to no-compete contracts. And if you left the station or you got another job offer, including out of town, they could hold you to no job in another place for as much as 2 years.
Right.
And that was a no-compete. And I said, that's enough. And we got together with Eileen Willenberg used to be the executive director of AFTER here in Chicago, and she and others formed, after we started this, the Illinois Production Alliance, and they lobbied. George Ryan vetoed the bill, and we overrode his veto, mm-hmm. and that's law. No-compete contracts are forbidden in Illinois for broadcasters.
Right, and that's hugely helpful.
That's cool. Many
of
that's
this
very cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, so you were in a leadership role. You were in a leadership role for journalism.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you have for young journalists?
Go
for
Dick.
Reporters out there?
Well, I tell, here's the thing. I used to do a lot of interns, and I've had a lot of interns who became successful.
Yeah.
I don't like people who go to college and say they studied broadcasting. I want people to walk into me and say, I've got a broad liberal arts education, liberal education. I know I've got some writing skills, some English skills. That's the best way, you know, a broad education. Don't concentrate.
To be a subject expert.
Yeah,
right.
And know
a little bit about everything.
Well,
that's what
I
always say.
If you study broadcaster, it means you just want to be on the air, period. And I always disagree with it. Sorry.
That needs to be earned. That needs to be earned.
That's right. That's right.
Whether it's on the air, whether you're published, mm-hmm. whether it's a photograph, whether it's a report, a news story.
Besides what I said about don't let somebody tell you you can't be in this business, I would say try stuff even if you're not sure about the compensation. As a photographer and journalist, there's amongst our colleagues, did you get paid for that? You know, and I sometimes measure my compensation by something else, by access I'm given.
Right.
Or
contacts that you've made.
Or contacts I've made.
Invaluable.
And so some of my funnest stories, do you get paid for that? No.
That's okay.
No, and that's okay because the compensation was different, and I appreciated what I got for it. And I've had access to some wonderful things. And if I was just going to stop because the money wasn't good enough, or there, you know, I wouldn't have had that cool experience.
I would advise young people to get an internship at a broadcast at a news department, and don't tell them you want to be a broadcaster. And I would also tell them, don't be afraid to start small in small markets and work your way up.
Absolutely.
Peaking we to all Peoria did. To Green Bay to Chicago.
I know, right? You got to hit the smaller markets. Curtis, our producer. Thank you, Curtis, for producing tonight. He's nodding emphatically. Columbia College's finest. We love you, Curtis.
Yay, Columbia.
Where can
yeah.
we find each of you? Social media. I know, Dick, you want to give your radio show a plug?
I do a Saturday radio show, WCPT820.com. WCPT 820 AM, and I do it from 1 to 4, and I'm on Facebook at Back on the Beat Radio, and I'm on Facebook. My email address is dickk@doogiesplace.com.
And we can still see some of your old newscasts on YouTube. I saw
Rich
a bunch
Samuels
of those.
Is the historian. I mean,
I know
he's got the Wabash Cannonball and Minnesota Fats and the Pool Hustlers Tournament. You know, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm just Karen, on Facebook.
Just on Facebook.
Karen Kring. Yeah,
we need to get you guys on
Facebook.com/KarenKring.
We'll get you on Instagram. It's Karen Kring and Dick K. Thank you both so much for being here. You can get our podcast also at WGNRadio.com. And thank you guys very much. This
Thanks
is a lot of
us.
Fun.
My pleasure.
We're glad
I love
to be
it.
On with Dick.
We're going to have you guys back on as well. Tell more stories. And I still think, I'm telling you, Dick, President Trump's going to be in town this weekend. You got to keep your streak alive. What if I can arrange it?
I'll do it.
All right.
Trust me, I'll do it. As long as I'd like to have it within my show. Maybe I could do the protesters instead.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Dick K, Karen Kring, thank you both so much. We will see you. And again, podcast will be at WGNRadio.com. Huge thanks to Curtis. Extension 720 with the great Justin Kaufman is coming up next. And we will see you next week on 720 WGN.